Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Something very fundamental is put into place. Work 6 days and rest a seventh day. It doesn't necessarily say which seventh day. The Sabbath idea is a day to rest. You say, well, I don't want to rest on Saturday. Rest on Sunday. Pick a day.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Rest Stop. This is fascinating. If you do a little research on rest stops, there's a Baldock rest stop on I-5 between Portland and Salem, Oregon. And this news crew goes in there, and it turns out a guy had been living there for 18 years. And then they start showing the camera, and you think, well, you pull in a rest stop, and there's motorhomes. They're on a trip somewhere, and they pulled off to rest, and they kept going. Some people never keep going. And you say, well, who would live at a rest stop? And that's going to be my point today. See, you're on a journey. You're trying to get somewhere. And you say, well, God, I'm tired. I need a rest. And so you rest, but the problem is after you've rested, you stop. And then you find yourself living in a rest stop, which was never intended. It's okay to pull over, and we're going to see that. And God intends for us to pull over. Now, as I process this and think, okay, God, why am I going to talk about it? What are we talking about? You know, you almost think, well, too many people are resting. You may not be resting at all. You say, yeah, I'm resting a lot. I'm lazy. That's a whole nother problem. You're not doing anything. A lot of people are on the other end of this spectrum. They don't know when to quit. And you say, well, I got two or three jobs because, you know, this and that, and we got to pay the bills, and, you know, I get all that, but if you don't stop, now listen to me, if you don't stop the way God intended for you to stop in the plan, you will stop. You will be stopped. You say, well, no, that's not going to happen. I can just plow out in the ground and survive. No, you can't. Something will give. And as we'll see as we read these verses, your testimony may be shot because you don't know how to stop. And so you plow as though there's no rest, there's no way to stop. And other people go, well, I got to keep up with that guy. And that guy's a Christian guy, and he's going like there's no end to this. So that's just what you do. You have a witness even in the way you work. All right, go to Genesis chapter 2. And the creation story is here in the first few chapters. Genesis 2:1, jump in there. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now, most people go, wow, God tired? Sure hope I'm not, you know, praying on a day where he's like tired. You know, how is God tired? This is not about God being tired. It's not, you say, well, he was exhausted from working 6 days and creating the universe. All God has to do is speak. Okay, does everybody understand this? Just speak and things come into existence. And on the seventh day, he ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, meaning he set it apart, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So something very fundamental is put into place. Work 6 days and rest a seventh day. It doesn't necessarily say which seventh day. The Sabbath idea is a day to rest. You say, well, I don't want to rest on Saturday. Rest on Sunday. Pick a day. Okay, so you say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't ever take a break. That's a problem. That's not a good thing. Because then you're raising your kids to go, well, you just work yourself to death and then you die and that's it. That's not biblical. Now you say, well, but it's for a little while I had to do it. I get that. But if your whole life you're working 6-7 days a week, something is wrong. It's not an endorsement of certain restaurants, but we'll just leave it at restaurants. You know, I like it that there are still chains that say we're closing on one day. Even if you say it's not Sunday, I don't care what day, pick a day. Give your people a break and say to them, look, we care about you as people. Go home, be with your family. I could make more overtime. So I don't forget this. Let me put this in here. If you are working yourself to death, and part of your game is, if I work so many hours, then I get overtime, because if I don't work overtime, I won't have enough. Let me tell you what's going to give you enough. God will provide for you. You don't have to depend on your overtime, double time, working the system and burning yourself out. Say, well, I got a little bit more, and there's a little bit less of you to live. Take a deep breath. Slow down. Let's read some more verses. Genesis chapter 2, we read that. Go to Exodus 20. And some of these I almost want to leave out because it's so intense in the Old Testament here. It's literally built into the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, let's jump in here at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath and that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And then look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. How are you going to remember something you don't know about? They knew about it. That's why he said to remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In other words, the rest of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Now, this can get crazy twisted out of proportion, and you say, people like, oh, I don't drive a car, and I don't, you know, I don't do this, and jump through all these hoops, and you can just get ridiculous. You don't have to walk to church, and you say, well, but that's their religious preference. I get that. I'm just telling you, that's not the point here. Keep reading. You shall do no work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Listen, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, so not just you, but people who work for you, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. So even if somebody's in your house on a trip visiting, you can't put them to work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. There's something about this. You have got to allow for rest. Go to Exodus chapter 23. Same thing in here, few pages over. This shows up over and over again. But now look at the principle here. Now it jumps to years even. Verse 10, Exodus 23, 10. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce. But the seventh year, a whole year, you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. In other words, you can't plow it to the death. And if you talk to any farmer, anybody knows anything about agriculture, even the dirt has to have a chance to recover, to recuperate. But what do we do now? Now we got fertilizers. Now we got chemicals. We say, no, even the dirt has to work 7 years straight. And there's stuff built in here. Look what he says. The seventh year you'll let it rest, lie fallow, and the poor of your people may eat. In other words, it still will produce something. Let them have that. So you have to prepare. You're going to work 6 years, work in that land, then you're going to let it rest, and you're going to take a break. The French are smarter than us. They take like a whole month off. Bunch of lazy whatevers, right? They should be working. I'm not trying to bust anybody's chops. Okay, so you can go 6-7 days straight and you got more money and you got nicer cars that you've leased and make mine look like nothing. Give me about 30 minutes with your kids and let me find out how that's working out for them. Oh, but I buy them really cool stuff. You know what kids want? You know what is really cool stuff? Parents that know them and that they know their parents. That's really cool stuff. People come to me and say, well, tell me about yourself. I say, you know what? I don't have anything to tell you. You want to know about me? You go get by yourself with all three of my girls or one of them, and then you'll find out about me. Do you have time for God, for yourself even, for your wife, your husband, your family? What are you doing? You can't stop. Now, I'm saying it again in midstream here. If you do not stop, God has a way of putting you under arrest. And I know people who literally have heart attacks and they put him in an ambulance, and they take him to an emergency room, and they end up in the hospital, and they can't stop even there. If they're conscious, they are working. Email back and forth, just so stressed, just so, it's crazy. Like, dude, you almost died, but I'm not dead yet. I got to answer this email. You almost have to induce a coma so they won't work. And I think that actually happens. God goes, I have to stop this man. I have to stop this woman. I'm going to stop him. And then you almost have to die to be stopped. And then even then people come out of that and go, but I can't stop. I got to keep going. I know possibly what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, you don't understand. I have to make a certain amount of money to stay alive. No, you have to make a certain amount of money to live the way you've decided to live. That's a completely different thing. Standard of living ain't in the book. Standard of living in the book is food and clothing therewith to be content. The rest of it you've made up. I've made up. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout the generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. So this was a big deal back in the day. You know, if you didn't stop, you would be put to death. And my contention is, if you don't stop, you might die anyway. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. So it keeps going back to creation, this principle. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So he's like, this is big stuff. Why is it so big? I don't know. You know, you go to the Bible, that is. Doesn't make sense. That seems stupid. Stop trying to figure it out and just do it. This is what aggravates parents to no end. You look at your kid and say, look, do this, 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 and this. And they go, why? I don't recall asking you to ask me why. Just do what I said. Well, it doesn't make sense. And I don't want to do that. And it drives us nuts. Then stop doing that to God. Read the instructions. You go, that's what he said. You go, well, that doesn't make sense. Now, we're the brat little kids that won't just obey already. And how much simpler is it for your kids when they just do what you ask them, right? And we ask our kids to do some things. They go, well, that doesn't make sense. You know what? It might make sense later. Listen to me. It might make sense later, but even if it doesn't, just do it. It doesn't have to make sense. So you get frustrated with kids, God gets frustrated with us. Just obey. Just try it for a week. You'd be amazed what would happen. Go to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, I'm going to read you this in the New King James Version and the King James Version. I love this little thing. This is about the people of Israel wandering in the desert. God still takes care of them, even though they're out there wandering around, lost. They've done the wrong, disobeyed, and they're stuck out there, but he's guiding them anyway. And there's a cloud that goes by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when it moves, they move. Jump in at verse 22. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. And then verse 23, at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And in the King James Version, if you have that, it says, at the command of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And then it goes on to say, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So they only moved when God moved, and they stopped when God stopped. And that's how you should live. Situations come up. If you have a relationship, a working relationship with God, you go along. Someone called me the day and said, you need to be such and such a place tomorrow morning at 8:00. Can you be there? And I stopped for a second. I said, Lord, is that what I'm supposed to do? And I got a yes. And I said, okay, I'll be there. I get no's as well. And then I tell them no. You say, well, how do you know that? You know, you've got to get to the place where you hear his voice. Now you say, well, did you hear a voice? No, I know how he talks to me inside. And I know what a no is, and I know what a yes is. And people sometimes come to me and they'll say, well, how, you know, my mama said what your mama said. You know, you meet some girl, and how are you going to know this is the right person to marry? And what do these crazy women tell you every time? When you know, you know. My mother used to say that. Like, I didn't even think about slapping my mother. That was the only thought. Like, what does that mean? How am I supposed to interpret that? Oh, I'll look at her, and oh, I know. And then that happened to me. And people say, well, I don't know how that works. And then I'll ask this question. Have you ever dated someone when you knew that you did not know? Like, zero, this is never going to work. I got to get out of here. You claim to know when you know it's not right. So if you can know when something's not right, then you can know when something is right. So when you get this gut feeling and the Holy Spirit says, get out of here, this is not right, then you have to know that he can do the same thing on the other side. You've got to listen for both and be willing to obey both sides and do the right thing. So these guys rested when God said to rest and moved when he said to move. Your body physically will tell you, you need to stop. Does anybody know what I am talking about? You cannot violate this stuff. You say, no, but I have to. Yeah, I have to keep moving or it won't happen. If you go down completely, it's really not going to happen. I shared a story about a mom who just finally said, I couldn't, told somebody this week, a mom who goes, I just can't take anymore. I need a break. I'm out of here. I'm going for the day. Go do whatever she needed to do, take a break. Left the baby with the husband and said, yours, I'll be back. She comes back about 10 hours later, and this little baby has got a diaper just about to explode on this kid's butt. And she looks at the husband, looks at the baby like, what have you been doing? And he said, I read the box. It said up to 12 pounds. So, not 12 pounds yet. Okay, so gentlemen, I share that one for this reason. Do not burn your wife out. And you say, well, I'm nobody's wife. I'm not to you yet. Don't burn your wife out. You look at her and go, she's about to snap. Say, hey, I got this. Go do something else. Go get your nails done. Go get your toes done. Your nose done. Whatever you people do, you know, go get it done. You know, go. And help. Because if you don't give her a break, she's going to break. And then you go, well, now what are we supposed to do? You're sick. Yeah, how'd she get sick? So then you say, well, what about the single moms or the single dads? Zero break. Take them, bring them, nothing. That's when a body, a family can observe and go, she's not going to make it much longer this way. And a trusted individual, single couple, whoever come along and say, hey, you need a break. Go get your nose done or, you know, whatever it was. We'll watch the kids. That's a ministry. It's a family. You say, well, that's not my problem. It is our problem if we are a family. Proverbs 24, lest I leave someone out. Proverbs 24:30 says this, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one who traveleth, and your want as an armed man. Little sleep, little slumber. You say, well, I thought you said a little sleep, a little slumber. That was the point. Get a little rest. Not 7 days in a row unless you're on vacation. And if you've been on vacation for a year, it's a problem. A guy came up to me today. He's trying to find work. And while he's looking for work, I think he told me he's volunteering somewhere working. Sometimes you get hired just because you're working, even if you're volunteering. Someone will go, wow, dude, you're just volunteering? Well, who is this person? Now they want you to work for them because they see who you are. Go do something. I've been a courier before. I've shoveled asphalt on a freeway with a chain gang. You can work. People say, I can't find work. It's everywhere. I moved recently. A guy showed up to help. You know, oh, that's very kind of you, sir. He's looking for work. I gave him some money. You know why? I wasn't being nice. He worked. He helped. It's okay. And you know what? Showing up there to help made him more than sitting at home going, dear God, bless me with a job. Go work while you're waiting for a job. He said, well, this is just common sense. Then why do so many people not get it? Maybe a few more. Matthew 11. Go over to this one. Now, there's probably somebody listening here beyond going, so you're saying, you talk about the Sabbath, this rest, should that be Saturday or Sunday? Don't get caught up on the days. It's not about the days. Jewish believers had the Sabbath. That was literally Saturday. Okay? So people get all caught up. We should be worshiping on the Sabbath. Do it. If you pick Monday, if we all said, let's have church on Monday, it's not like we violated some holy code. Does everybody get this? Now, there are some people get really caught up in this and go, no, it has to be at a certain time. Then some churches are having church service on Saturday and some on Sundays. Is that okay? Are you actually worshiping when you go or not? You say, well, this is the set day of worship. I grew up where if you weren't singing to Jesus at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, he wasn't going to hear you. That was it. And I was always amazed that if you showed up then at 11 to do your singing in your church and you were dressed up, that's what you're supposed to do. And then they tried to get you to come to a Sunday night service and everybody's in jeans. I'm like, so what happened? Did God take his sandals off? He doesn't care in the nighttime. I mean, what happened? Why can't I wear that in the morning? I'm so uncomfortable, I can't breathe, you know, that stupid tie. Whole nother childhood counseling deal, so. Listen to Matthew 11. Now this is, you say, well, I got the whole work thing figured out. This may be what you don't have figured out. Jesus says these words to those that are following him. 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can be physically exhausted. I remember times having to go do a Bible study or something. I'm like, God, I am too tired. I'm calling in sick. I'll make myself sick so I won't be lying, but I can't go do this tonight. I'm tired. And I'll go, no, I'm supposed to go. It'll be okay. You go, you do the thing. And when I get done, I'm like, how is this possible? I went into this deal exhausted and I come out refreshed. What happened? When you let him live in you and through you, you can rest even when you work because he does the work. Listen to the rest of it. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I will show you how to do it. And while we're doing it, I will do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What seems insurmountable to me, I go, God, I can't lift this. I can't do this. I'm tired. I can't go anymore. And Jesus snuggles up in there under that yoke and boom, lifts that thing. You're like, what happened? Where did that come from? Because it's easy for him. It's light for him. Stop carrying your load by yourself. Go to Jesus. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Some Christians know what I'm talking about and don't go to Jesus. They carry it all on themselves. Try to shoulder it alone. I've moved several times and I'm pretty stubborn. Still can, you know, I'll reach down and pick up a dryer. Just a washer, not as much, but a dryer. You know, well, dryers are heavy. Why would you do it? Well, sometimes I've had to take them upstairs. You know, if you do it right, you can carry a dryer up some stairs by yourself if you do it right. Do you know what? Somebody else comes along and says, hey, I'll help you with that. And they grab the other side. I'm like, dude, wow, this dryer's light. No, it's not. It's just easier when someone else is doing the lifting. Let him do the lifting. You say, well, no, this is my problem. You might have made it your problem. You can even give those to him and he can help you with. You don't have to live tired physically the rest of your life. You don't have to live tired spiritually the rest of your life. Emotionally, any category, rest, stop.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
People say, well, I can't afford to go on a vacation, do what they call a staycation, just like sleep in another bedroom tonight. You know, some of you guys are doing that already. So maybe go back in the room then. Do something. Go have a picnic somewhere. Get out under a tree, breathe some fresh air, do something. You have to rest. You say, well, why are you talking about this? Because I plowed it in the ground for too many years and now I stop. God blessed me with something called golf and I go out and I walk for 5 miles. You know, it's like a big Easter egg hunt for me. And And I get with some men usually, and I put a bag on my back, and I walk, and I breathe, and I can't think about anything else but trying to hit that stupid white ball, and it's good for me. You say, well, that's a, you know, I've asked preachers this. Do you play golf? They go, no, it takes too much time. And I say, do you watch football? They go, yeah. I say, sometimes two games back to back? Yeah. I say, that takes too much time. You're doing whatever you want to do. Do something. Take a break. Go back to work, but take a break. There's something built in, even into the creation of the universe, that says, take a break. Give people around you a break. Your employees a break. Don't work people 7, 7, 7, 7. Don't do it. It's not right.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.